GWA Backstage. This is Nicole Silver, and I'm doing my own questionnaire. Where do audios come from, Daddy? Monarch explained to me that, of course, if you write a questionnaire, you are morally obligated to answer the questions yourself. He told me it was in that handbook, you know, the one we got at orientation when we got here. You didn't get one? Oh my goodness, you're just flying blind? Well, yeah, I know how that feels. Okay, summoning your muse. Where do your ideas find you? Or is it a win? And mine find me whenever they damn well please. My muse doesn't give a rat's ass about what I'm doing or whether I have access to anything. Ideas come to me anytime, anywhere. They don't respect my schedule. They don't respect my need to sleep. They basically dash in and tap me on the shoulder and yell, "Tag, you're it." And my job is to chase them and catch them. A couple of places that are particularly prolific these days. One is at the gym on the recumbent bike or walking the indoor track. The other place is while walking around my neighborhood. Capture inspiration. How do you throw a net over the slippery little buggers? Do you write it down, tap a keyboard, record your thoughts, type with your thumbs? I do all of those. This is more location dependent than anything. The gem by thumb on the phone, the voice message while walking or driving, a pin on the back of grocery lists in cars, the laptop at home. Never, never think, "I'll remember and I'll write it down later." That does not happen. I'll interrupt anything to make that note. I would say to the queen, "Excuse me, Mom, just one moment, please. You got a pen? Look in your purse. Do you have a pen? I need to make a note. I've written them on my hand." The only thing I haven't done is use the chloroform-soaked rag and then drag them into the back of the van, though I do have access to a white Sprinter van. Rituals include coffee, lots and lots of coffee, alcohol, and heroin to bribe your inner editor. Read something titillating or dry. Watch porn, listen to audios. My answer to that is none. I have nothing that I must do in order to write a script. There were a few happy months when I would wake up very early, make my coffee, and carry it out to a screened porch. And I'd hear the owls hunting and watch the dawn come up, and drink my coffee, and by the light of my laptop, I'd work on my script. But alas, it's too cold. Soon I'll be able to start a fire. Getting it down. Apply ass to chair, fingers to keyboard. Avoid distraction in a bare windowless room with no internet. Fold the laundry. Set a timer right till it goes off. You know, it's really apply ass to chair and finger to keyboard. That requires sitting down and typing something, no matter how lame, no matter how wooden, no matter how limping, because you can't edit it if there's nothing there. I'm not a very good writer, but I am an excellent editor. And I have final drafts, not the final draft. And there's something I want to go in and fix right now on the coming for you script. It's just driving me crazy. But at some point, you just have to let it go. So let's see, you're in the zone. Do you bang it out? Never. In my dreams. The closest I ever came to that was writing Baby, Where'd You Go? Which pretty much poured out almost the way you see it. Once that first script was written, I knew I could write more. Do you labor over every phrase and comma? Yes, 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 until I put it up absolutely. Do you accumulate fragments until they make a complete picture? Yes, I do. I have 4 or 5 pages, maybe 25, 26 different seeds, fragments, pieces that I believe can become a script. Some of them have 3 or 4 paragraphs, and they move up the hierarchy to the front of the line because they're more complete. Sometimes they jump across the pages to each other and click together like Legos, and between 3 of them, there's a full script. That happened with The Sound of You. That was actually 3 different fragments that went, we belong together. So that can happen. Again, you can't edit if you don't have something to work with. So I keep a very long file, and I print out as well the sex. Ah, insert tab A into slot B. A, write it separately and jam it in. B, let it arise naturally. Go with the flow. And C, it's the most important part. Write that and the rest follows. For me, it's who the characters are and what their situation is. So the characters, their situation, and of course their location determines the kinds of sex, the way the sexual desire will manifest itself between them. 7, do you prefer to revisit old favorites or explore new territory? I haven't been doing this long enough to have old favorites, I don't think. But I know so far, I really enjoy inventing locations. You think about who could actually legitimately be in this location, and then what their attraction would be, and then you're off and running, you know? Let's see, prioritize setting, characters, language, sexy times. I have to have the characters and the setting. And once I have that, I can pretty much know what the sex will be. And once I have all three and I have something in place, then the language pulls it all together. The right tone and the words that will reinforce those things, who the characters are and what the location is. And there's a saying in the graphic arts profession, which is not mine, but I know people who are, beat to fit and paint to match. What's more crucial to you, knowing how it starts or how it ends? It's a tie, because I must know how it begins. And I have to have what I consider an engaging first couple of lines. But I also am married to the idea of it ending with a twist or a button. And I did not know, I knew what a twist was, thank you, O. Henry, but I didn't know what a button was until I started doing research for writing these scripts. I literally Googled up short story plot devices and O. Henry twists. I Googled that up and found a number of very fascinating blogs on the subject. But if you're a screenplay writer, apparently, or you write for television, there is something called a button where you bring the ending back so it connects to the start. And I'm in love with that. All right, do I see it or hear it? It starts out as almost an establishing shot, as if it's cinema. And then I pull back and they start moving and talking. Now I'm making them move and talk. There's no question in my mind on that. They are my galley slaves. They do what I tell them. But once it starts moving, I watch closely, I listen, and very, very quickly, my other senses come online. I can imagine what the air smells like and what the temperature is and what the fabric or the bark of the tree or the upholstery or the sensations, the smells, the textures, and what the ambient noises in the background would be. It all comes online. And as I write, I look for ways for them to naturally allude to that. And that's pretty tricky. And then once it's written to a certain degree, say the second or third draft, I start reading it aloud to make sure that what people are saying is said in the pattern of speech that I hear people speak, not grammatically correct, not full sentences, none of that. It's how do people sound? And I am never too proud to ask for help, and I'm always grateful to get it. What mistakes do you always make? Yes, I have typed clock for cock. When I'm typing, I can't apparently type the word from. It's always form, which spell check is no help with. That's it. Thank you.